Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Canto 1, Chapter 7, Text Number 6. Anartano paksamam saksad.
Anartano paksamam saksad.
Anartano paksamam saksad.
Anartano paksamam saksad.
Bhakti yogam mahoksujay.
Bhakti yogam mahoksujay.
Bhakti yogam mahoksujay.
Bhakti yogam mahoksujay.
Lokasichanjanato vidvams.
Lokasichanjanato vidvams.
Lokasya janato vidvams.
Lokasya janato vidvams.
Chakre savita samhitam.
Chakre savita samhitam.
Chakre savita samhitam. Anartano paksamam saksaham. Bhakti yoga mahoksaje. Lokasya janato vidvams. Chakre savita samhitam. Anartha upaksamam saksaham. Bhakti yoga mahoksaje. Lokasya janato vidvams. Chakri Savita Samhitam. Anartha. Upaksamam.
Bahishkar. Nivaran.
Saksat. Bhakti yoga.
Bhakti ko jodne ki vidhi.
Ahoksajay.
Brahma ko.
Lokasya.
Samanya logon ka.
Ajanata.
Na janne wale.
Vidvan.
Prakanda pandit.
Chakra.
Sangraha kiya.
Satvata.
Param satya ke prasanga mein.
Samhitam.
Vaidik
Sahitya. Translation. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The material miseries of the living entity, which are superfluous to him, can be directly mitigated by the linking process of devotional service. But the mass of people do not know this, and therefore the learned Vyasadeva compiled this Vedic literature which is in relationship to the Absolute Truth.
सुप्त ईश्वर प्रेम का पुनः लाभ केवल श्रवण तथा कीर्तन
Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yeda Bhutale Swamaruba Kadamma Yam Dadati Swam Padati Kam. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadara Sivasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, here it's describing Vyasadeva's meditation when he was compiling Srimad Bhagavatam. And undertaking this great service of translating the Vedic literatures, he also took the Vedanta Sutras and expanded their principles, the Brahma Sutras, into the Vedanta Sutras, and then from the Vedanta Sutras into Srimad Bhagavatam. So here this verse is describing what Vyasadeva saw. He saw the Lord, saw the living entities as their parts. He saw the different energies of the Lord. He saw the incarnations. And then he saw the living entities who are under the influence of the material energy. And he saw that this covering of the material energy was really unaffecting the material, the living entities. He saw the covering as something, what we say, separate from the living entities. And this material energy, or the miseries that come with the material energy, have nothing to do with the soul. The soul is pure, and the soul cannot be touched, affected in any way by the material energy. It's an illusion or a dream that the living entity actually thinks that I'm actually enjoying, I'm actually suffering. It's all part of the material dream. Krishna describes in Gita that the soul cannot be cut into pieces, cannot be burned by fire, withered by the wind, wet by water, destroyed by any kind of weapon. The soul really has nothing to do at all with this material energy. But because the soul is in the material energy, or has a body that is made of material energy, the soul identifies that the events that happen are happening to it. I guess the best example would be if you fall asleep and you're dreaming, in your dream, you might dream that you're being chased by a tiger, or you might dream that you found some good fortune. But then you wake up and it's just a dream. There's no truth to what you've experienced. But while you're in the dream, you actually experience, you're actually feeling that this is actually happening. the dream seems real. And sometimes even in the dream you experience, you know, physical changes. But then when you wake up, you know it's all a dream. You dismiss it. But in the same way, the living entity in the material energy is dreaming that I'm a man, I'm a woman, I'm an Indian, I'm old, I'm young. So many identifications that are called external coverings over the soul that make the soul identify with matter. But this, the great acharya is saying, jeev jago, jeev jago, jeev jago, gaura chanda mole, kota nidra jayo maya, pisa chida kole, jeev jago, jeev jago, gaura chanda. So the soul is dreaming, sleeping, and he's thinking, I'm suffering. He's thinking, I'm enjoying. This is what it means to be in the material energy. We're in a matter, we're illusioned. It's all one big dream. Well, you might say, well, at night I know I dream, but when I wake up during the day, it's different. When I wake up during the day, it's not like the same as a night dream. Actually, it is. The only difference is this is a longer dream. When the living entity throws off all its material coverings and awakens its love for Krishna, it will wake up back in the spiritual world, free from all connections with the material energy. But the living entity doesn't know this, so therefore Vyasadeva, he wrote this Bhagavatam to teach this principle. He taught the principle that your suffering is simply an illusion. But at the same time, he taught that this Bhagavatam is the way to get out of the illusion. This Bhagavatam, by hearing this Bhagavatam every day, Nasti Prayeshu Abrajeshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Sloke Bhaktir Bhagavati Naistiki, by regular attendance in Srimad Bhagavatam and by rendering service to the pure devotee, Abhadrani, Abhadrami means inauspicious or unwanted things, they become vanquished within the heart. Simply by this process of hearing the glories of the Lord and chanting the glories of the Lord, gradually one awakens from this illusion of what we say material suffering. But then Prabhupada says though that by hearing and chanting, or mechanical hearing and chanting, does not this process does not depend on mechanical hearing and chanting. The success of the process depends on the mercy of Krishna. When Krishna sees that one is sincerely hearing and chanting and trying to serve, then Krishna removes these coverings by his mercy. So it's not a simple process of just doing the ratas or the chanting. One has to retain the mercy of the Lord. Otherwise, one's endeavors will not reach success. In other words, one's six service, one's endeavors has to be recognized by Krishna. But here it says that even by mechanical hearing and chanting, there is some mitigation or some lessening of the material coverings. At once, even by mechanical hearing and chanting, one still gets some benefit. One gets relief to some degree. But the success depends on one's continual practice and one's achieving the mercy of Krishna. So this is the process. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaram. To hear and chant the glories of the Lord regularly in association of devotees. There is no other process, and this is the only, and this is the recommended means for self-realization. It says in the second canto of Bhagavatam, simply by this process of hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord and remembering, one comes free, becomes free from all material miseries and becomes free from all fear. To get rid of the external physical material miseries is quite what we say. It is in the beginning of the process, but to get rid of the subtle forms of material miseries takes, what we say, continual hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. The subtle material miseries are, you know, lust, anger, you know, illusion, fear, pride. These are all subtle and more difficult. But by this concentrated process of hearing, the chanting, the glories of the Lord, one can reach perfection. And therefore, much chitat much chikatap pranam bodhiyantas parasparam katiyantas chimam nichantu shanti charma manti cha. Krishna says in Gita, the devotees, their thoughts, they dwell in me, their lives are surrendered to me, and they derive great pleasure, satisfaction, happiness in hearing my glories, chanting my glories, and remembering my glories. And the foremost is to hear regularly Srimad Bhagavatam. because this contains the pure, unalloyed activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in various manifestations. We should read Bhagavatam every day. Let me ask you a question. What would be some of the reasons why we don't read? Read. What would be one reason why we don't read? There's so many reasons. Laziness. No, you mentioned two reasons, laziness and it's not important. It's not so important. What's another reason why we don't read? No, again, it's not important. Yeah, we're too busy. No time. No time for reading.
Sometimes we even try to compensate it with some other spiritual activities, by preaching or by kirtan.
Hearing tapes instead of reading books. Then. That's okay, but still, we have to. Ah, that's the one. No taste. There's other thing that tastes better.
Mm-hmm.
Television is better. higher taste. Riding motor scooter, higher taste. So many higher tastes, right? We forgot the taste of Bhagavatam. So, no time, not important, no taste, lazy, too many other things to do. What's another reason?
Well,
that's okay. That's another one. Another reason why. We keep postponing it, and we think someday we'll just all of a sudden Krishna will say, "Okay, today is your reading day." What's another reason why we don't read? Sleepy. Yeah, when we sit down, we get sleepy. The mind is too slow. That's a good one. Well, you know, one at a time. We discuss each one. The mind is too slow. When we sit down, we go and get tired. But what does that mean? It means really there's not too much interest if we get sleepy. Yes, Mataji. Borneo Vishwasa Strada. Another reason why we don't read. This is one, maybe not so common, but it's a reason. Reading, it's not so important.
Mm-hmm.
serious about the goal of life. That's a good one. Yeah, lack of time management. That's my problem. Lack of time management. Proper time management. Very good. That's a good one. What's another one? I have one I'm thinking about.
Sometimes we feel that other services we get results, but when they leave,
we don't. Oh yeah, we were more like in the mode of passion. Passion as opposed to goodness. Goodness is too difficult because we fall asleep. Yeah, we have a tendency to do things rather than to sit down and become more meditative.
We consider it important but not urgent.
Yeah, important but not urgent. There's urgent, important, not so important, not so urgent, not at all important. Yes, yeah, that's another one. We don't understand how important it is, how urgent it is for our spiritual life. But I have another one that we haven't.
Urgency.
Mm-hmm. That was just said. Someone else? Anyone else?
Yes.
Is there. Prabhupada says, read my books. Yes. We don't see the importance of it. It's not valuable. We don't appreciate it. Because we don't appreciate it, then we don't take it up. Lack of appreciation for the books. We keep them on the shelf, they look nice, they decorate the house. We have a nice big bookshelf, but it's just mostly dust. I have one that you didn't say yet. I'll tell you. I read them already. I read the books. I don't have to read anymore. I've read them. I know. I've read Gita. I read Bhagavad Gita. No need to read anymore. No, but it's Nitya Bhagavad Gita, same way. Constantly reading and going, reading these works over and over again. It's not that you read them once and you know them and that's all. It's like you read a bookstore and you have a novel. A new book comes out, some novel. You read it and you're finished. That's all. You never read it again. It's not like that. Okay, I'll change the question now. What's some of the things we can do to increase our time and our taste for reading? What are some things we can do in our life that will increase our time and our taste to read? Associating with those who are doing it, and you get the taste, you get the enthusiasm. Yes, that's good. Another one. What's some of the other things we can do to increase both our time and our taste? Either one.
Get inspired. You should attend seminar.
attend a seminar on a specific topic and get inspired. What's another thing we can do to increase our enthusiasm to read? Yeah, get up earlier. Or, what do we say, make a schedule. Put reading time in your schedule every day. This time is for reading, and then when the time comes, you do it, no matter what. So make a schedule. What's another thing we can do to increase either time or taste? Punish yourself. That's a good one. You're already punishing yourself by not doing it. So more punishment, right? Scheduling is good. You can read what you like. It's like one lady, she said to me, Maharaj, I don't have time to read the Bhagavad Gita. I said, don't worry. She's thinking I have to read from the beginning. I said, just pick a story you like and read it. Find some story in the Bhagavad Gita or in the scriptures and read that. And that develops your taste for reading again. Read something that interests you. Sometimes we think I have to start here. No, you can just, that's the best, but in order to get the taste for reading, you can just find some pastime that interests you, read it, and learn it like that. What's another thing? Group reading, yeah, that's very good. Read together. At least two people, but even more. When you do it alone, it's harder. When you do it in groups, then you get inspiration, enthusiasm. How about this? Have a reading retreat. Make one whole day just for reading. Go on a retreat just for reading. Yeah. Huh? Yeah, that's what Mataji said. She just said that. Reading retreat, yeah. Yeah, the whole group goes out and does a reading retreat. And you can choose how you do it. You have different topics, you read different books, and discuss. You can even discuss after you read. That's a good thing. That's actually a good program. I was doing that in London. One senior devotee called me and said, Maharaj, I have this Srimad Bhagavatam discussion group. You can come. So we sat down and then we pick a verse and we discuss it. I like that. Some verse that has many points. And then devotees discuss, well, it's like this, it's like this, this is my understanding, this is how it applies in my life.
Yes,
distribute books. We can even distribute them. And we start distributing them, we start reading them again. Or if you increase the quality of your chanting, you also increase the desire to read more. And some things. Time, taste. How to make the books part of our, more part of our life? How's that work? Here's another question. How to make the books more a part of your life? Yeah, carry a book when you go to work. That's very good. And then when you have some time, read it or... Traveling, yeah, good. What's another one? Responsibility to tell others, so we have to read. Because if you don't read, you can't tell anything. Yes?
Writing in our rooms.
Yeah. Yeah. In other words, putting Prabhupada's statements about the importance of reading books on the walls, in the temple, in your home, like that. And but you can also put just any statements from the books. Put slokas up on. We have pictures, we can also put slokas up. What can you do in your home to make books more part of your life? Have a library. Yeah, have a nice library. Keep it nice. Keep it in where everyone can see it, the main room. Yeah, well, that's back to the same one, understanding the importance. No. Well, you have to plan. If you don't plan, it won't happen. You have to plan. So make plans for discussion program. I have one. Give people gifts as books when you give a gift to someone. Make your gift a book. Give someone a book for some birthday present or for some wedding occasion or something. So carry books to work, carry books for traveling, give gifts, have discussions, seminars, reading retreats, libraries. One thing you can get a big glass case and put it in the temple, have a book display in the temple. And then when you have programs, you can sell books. Good idea. Yeah, last night there was about 400 or 500 people. You have a book display there, you sell some books, and then somebody gets a book.
We have it there.
Where is that? Where's the rack? Oh, it's in next door. Everyone knows? Oh, okay. It's for sale? For selling? Yeah, that's good. That's important. She make announcements too. That we have books for sale every time people come. What did you say?
You can start from the YouTube program. You can post to it.
Yeah, that's good. If they accept your force. Yeah, that's good. I mean, I'm guilty of not reading is enough. But because I have to give class, I have to give some reading. So I always read for what I'm preparing for, that. But because of my schedule, it's hard. But still, it's because, you know, the tendency is always that when you have a busy schedule, reading gets pushed to the backside. It's always like that. But it shouldn't be like that. Prabhupada said, preacher means reader. So this is what this sloka is about, that Srimad Bhagavatam was compiled out of compassion for the fallen souls who are in illusion, thinking that they are part of the material energy and identifying with the suffering that they get from that association. So once one has developed this knowledge through the process of hearing, then one can be freed from the illusion that I am not. And then I'm actually affected by matter. Soul is never affected by matter. Okay. I have to make a shorter class today, but if there's any questions, we can discuss something else. Any more? Any questions? Comments? How to develop the mind? I think once you get a taste and an experience of the happiness and the importance of reading, then it becomes easier to remain consistent. But at the same time, in order to get that taste, we have to be very determined at the beginning to keep a schedule. So I think the most important way is to schedule it every day at a certain time and then read. That's important. I think we should have a schedule. This time is for reading, this time is for chanting, this time is for other chores. Some reading should be scheduled in like we do everything else. Once you develop the taste, then you're fixed. It's like I know one senior devotee, and he's traveling and preaching for years, but then because of his health, he was forced to slow down and stay in one place. I mean, when he was staying in one place, he was chanting 32 rounds a day and getting up really early in the morning. And then he told me, he said, now I'm really happy. I'm getting such a taste from chanting and hearing that I'm not going to trade it for anything now. So once we get the taste for reading or for chanting or for association, and then it becomes something we won't give up. That this philosophy is sweet, it's perfect. From wherever you touch it, it becomes nectar. I mean, you read these philosophy, it's so deep, and each word has so much meaning to it. Srila Prabhupada was on morning walk. They were talking about Bhagavatam. Prabhupada says, takes 1 month to understand each verse of Bhagavatam. Prabhupada said that. Then he turned to the devotees, he said, how many verses? The devotee said, 18,000 verses. Prabhupada said, how much time is that? One month times 18,000. Somebody was fast. They said, that's 1,500 years, Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, you have enough to read. Yeah, so each verse takes 1 month, maybe even more. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati spoke on the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam for 3 consecutive months in Dhaka without covering the same points each day. Yeah. I mean, we can take one verse and speak on it all day and discuss it. So many angles. This knowledge, this philosophy is coming from the transcendental realm. It's not part of this material world. Therefore, its meanings have so many, it's unlimitedly full of meanings. The more you read it, the more you become purified, and the more you understand it deeper. So you're getting purification and you're getting deeper understanding as you continue to stay in contact with this philosophy. Any other questions? I could stay here all day, but I have to go. I mean, we could discuss these verses all day, but time doesn't allow me today because I have to travel. But if there's any more questions, yes?
Can we substitute for chanting after completing 16 rounds? Again, chanting 16 rounds, can we read Bhagavad Gita instead of chanting?
Instead of chanting? After 16 rounds? You chant 16 rounds.
Now we have completed 16 rounds.
Yeah.
Again chanting 16 rounds. Can we read Bhagavad Gita instead of that?
Oh.
Which is preferable?
You mean you chant 32 rounds?
No.
You chant 16 rounds, then that's the vow you have taken to the spiritual master, and then whatever. You can read Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. Yeah. We have to complete 16 rounds. That is our promise. But we should also find time for reading. And reading helps us to chant better. Reading helps us to become more enthusiastic in our chanting. It helps not only a little bit, but a lot.
त्याच्याऐवजी वाचन करणे जास्त योग्य आहे तर म्हणून सोळा माळा आणि आपली शपथ आहे ते केलीच पाहिजे त्याशिवाय वाचन केलं पाहिजे कारण वाचनामुळे आपला जप देखील सुधारेल.
I mean, but stay with the main ones, Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar Devotion. What's the other one? Bhagavad Gita. Yeah, he said Nectar Devotion, Krishna Book, which is Srimad Bhagavatam, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, which became Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Bhagavad Gita. He said four books. He said these four books is all you need for self-realization. He said also that I put everything, all of philosophy in the first three volumes, the first three cantos of the first volume. Everything is in there. And the rest is just explaining the same principles in different ways, through different pastimes. But all the principles are there in the first canto. Another thing that helps to practice reading is when I first joined the Hare Krishna movement, one of the services that during the accepting of prasadam, someone would read while the devotees would take prasad. So that was one of my services. So I got a lot of reading. Every day I would read as a service. And then I would have to read very carefully because everyone was listening. Couldn't fall asleep. Some people taking prasad, someone can read. Actually, prasadam means no talking. Because if you're talking and you're eating at the same time, you're doing the two things that the tongue's supposed to do at the same time. You should do one at a time. Prabhupada taught us that. When I take prasadam by myself, I play Prabhupada's tapes and then I listen when Prabhupada's speaking. It makes prasadam a wonderful experience.
Prabhupada
you like to talk, you can let Prabhupada talk to you and you can listen. Yeah. It's hard sometimes at night when you're tired, but it's a good way to go to sleep. You just sit there and you read until you get tired and you fall asleep. Right? Some people can't sleep, you just read, right? Until you fall asleep. It's a good way to, yeah, it works. Mentioned that in the villages years ago, maybe still now in the villages in India, the last thing they do is all the village people get together, someone comes, they read Mahabharata, Ramayana, like that, sometimes Bhagavatam. Everyone listens and then that's the last thing. And then they go to sleep and they dream about Krishna or something. It's good to read in the evening like that. Because the mind becomes more relaxed, peaceful, you sleep nicer. But if you're talking all kinds of crazy things, then or watching television, then it's not good. Are the basis, utility is the principle, preaching is the essence, purity is the force. Prabhupada gave us these four principles. Books are the basis of everything we do. Utility is the principle, that means learning how to use everything in Krishna service. The force that makes everything happen is purity, and preaching is the means for expanding Krishna consciousness. All things. Yes, Mataji, yes. Vishvaporna. She's saying Vishvaporna. Suda Vishvaporna. Nitya Vishvaporna Suda. Yes. Say is when you're leaving, you can say, I have one request before I leave, So please honor this request of a dying family member. So you can ask, give them some request that now that I'm leaving, if you can do this one thing for me, this will be your, you know, way to show your love for me by honoring this one request that you continue what I considered important for my life and for your life also. Them and you can also pray both. Prayer is powerful. But still request them. Someone might take it up. If one person takes it up because of what we do or say, then our life is successful. Krishna will recognize that. Yeah. If you make someone a devotee or bring someone to Krishna consciousness and they go back home, then they take you back home. You back home because Krishna, that's why Krishna works. That if you give someone the mercy, then if they surpass you, then their mercy comes to you. Child and you make your child Krishna conscious, they become a pure devotee, take you back to Godhead. Even if you are unqualified, still you get to go. Prabhupada actually said that. Prabhupada said, I have so many disciples, I'm hoping one of them goes back to Godhead so he will take me. Okay. Dhanyavad. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Reading without interruption ki jai. Please pray for me that I can read. Some hard work, it takes some enthusiasm, but wonderful things happen. Work together and work hard. cooperate, the less harder you have to work. And it becomes easy. Okay, I have to go. I have a trip to Satara today. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Chila Prabhupada ki.